simulation is just a fancy word for practice. And everybody does practice in any aspect of whatever job they have.
As I've been taking this course, I've been teaching like in the evenings, and I felt my approach to my lessons were much more nuanced and well-rounded than they have been historically.
Welcome back to Brief Debriefings from the Center for Medical Simulation. My name is James Lipshaw, and I'm here today with Jenny Bork, the Education Coordinator at the Center for Medical Simulation, and Sam Wong, the Simulation Technician at the Center for Medical Simulation. Sam and Jenny are here today doing a brief debriefing on our Healthcare Simulation Essentials course because they both recently started new positions with us. And so one thing that we do here is have all of our staff and faculty actually take our core Healthcare Simulation Essentials course at the beginning of their time with us so that they can really get a more deep and full understanding of the way that we teach in our programs. So I would love to start with a reactions phase as you're in the fifth day of the Healthcare Simulation Essentials course. So how's it going for you so far?
So I went in, I wasn't sure how much would be applicable to what I do, which is, you know, I'm the education coordinator, so it's a lot of administrative stuff, and I am a teacher on the side. So I wasn't sure how much it would apply. However, all of the stuff that we learned, especially the debriefing stuff and putting together the project, actually wound up being very applicable to my teaching, especially. I learned a lot of ways to reframe my thinking about it, and I put together a lot of things for my project in terms of how to approach my teaching better. So I wound up getting a lot out of it, and it stimulated me in a way that I haven't been stimulated since college, which was kind of a refreshing feeling. So that is my takeaway from the course, and I'll pass it on to Sam now.
Yeah, very similar to Jenny. Becoming the simulation tech, I came with very little healthcare background. Going to this course, I was definitely a little bit nervous considering everyone going in prior had, you know, years of experience in the healthcare field and just, you know, years of clinical training. But I ended up, you know, taking over 10 pages of notes of just really important interpersonal skills that I think I could apply. A lot of debriefing, which I think not only applies in the healthcare world, but I can use in many different scenarios in my own personal life going forward. Right now, really excited. Definitely a huge change in mindset taking this course now.
Yeah, I think excitement and a change in mindset are two very apt ways to put it. I did feel very enriched and very excited, and I also took a fair amount of notes. And I also found it very applicable to real life scenarios, which you said, like kind of like a mindset switch. I felt similarly in even just going about my life this week. I felt like I was thinking about things differently. So that was very cool.
And just coming in with that nervousness, that anxiety of just, I was scared to be the, you know, the dumbest student in the room. Like all the instructors and the participants made it so welcoming, pausing the projects to take time to explain to us what certain clinical scenarios were about, which made learning even better.
It's funny, I had a very similar experience. I took the course in 2016 with a very similar background, which is I'm an educator by training. I was a public school teacher in Boston Public Schools, and I didn't have any clinical background either. And so I had a very similar experience going in. There were more codes in the course in those days. It's where, you know, someone would drop and the team needed to run a code for them. And I was like, well, I can hold things. And if anyone needs to be talked to, I can talk to them.
Yeah.
And I do remember we actually had a simulation when I took it where somebody handed me a simulated syringe and was like, can you give this to the patient intravenously? And I was like, I can pretend to. I don't know how this goes in, though. I see that it doesn't have a needle on it. I don't know how to attach this to an IV.
Even in the simulations, they even have roles for us to do.
I felt like each one had like a role that you and I could comfortably play.
Yeah, we didn't have to pretend to be someone we're not, you know.
Yeah, and I think that we've designed that intentionally where, you know, not everybody has the same clinical background. You know, we're really focused on interprofessional training, on allied health professionals. We have folks come through who are, you know, ophthalmologists and respiratory therapists and athletic trainers and administrative staff who work in a simulation program and want to be able to support their program. And obviously, it's really important that everybody can get the same benefit out of the teaching. So I'm really glad that you guys are experiencing that and it feeling good to be in the course. Jenny, you have mentioned projects that you were working on, and I want to ask a little bit about that. So most clinical faculty or simulation faculty who come into the course Do you have a specific project or program that they're thinking about developing? I'm curious what you two were working on this week in that context.
Something that I've been grappling with in my teaching is kind of getting through to the students in a way that sticks with them, particularly not content, but strategies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning how to get themselves motivated to do a paper or a project that they don't want to do, or learning how to feel confident about their skills in an area that they don't feel as confident about. I think I put together a project that basically did a lot of diagnostic stuff and then a lot of corresponding coaching and then some like discussions towards the end, having the student teach me the lesson back. My goal was just motivation, confidence, retention, things like that. So I was trying to put together a project that would help me be a better teacher in terms of having those goals and kind of think about my teaching as more of a coaching role, like the faculty played in this course. And it kind of reframed my approach to it. And as I've been taking this course, I've been teaching like in the evenings, and I felt my approach to my lessons were much more nuanced and well-rounded than they have been historically.
Yeah, even just the elements of, you know, creating a psychologically safe environment, like what does it actually mean to design a space where people can feel comfortable failing?
Exactly.
That to me was always sort of the shorthand version of it. You have to be able to, or willing to risk failure in order to get into that zone of growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the proximal development in the teaching jargon, creating an environment where people are willing to fail. And I think that's really hard for adults because, you know, so much ego and status is on the line. It's really hard for kids too, I think, from the social aspect. Like,
yes.
It's hard to put yourself out there and fail in front of your peers.
Yes. Right. And a lot of pressure at that age on grades. And I'm trying to kind of get them to reframe their thinking about that as well, because I've spoken to them about like various times that I struggled in school and I was totally fine, but it's really hard to understand that when you're 16.
Yeah.
Because it just feels so immediate. So I was also trying to think of strategies like the psychological safety to make them feel comfortable failing and to make them kind of reframe their thinking about failing.
And Sam, what project were you working on this week?
I centered my project kind of around my background. Basically, someone without a healthcare background coming into the simulation field and how they would be trained to set up and run a operating room simulation. My project was centered around OR knowledge on the people's roles who work inside an OR and the OR equipment. I mean, what we went through, the different zones of simulation helped me figure out what direction, because the simulation, for my project, it could be very simple as in like, here, read this material and or watch this video, but I was able to make it more interactive where I can teach the students, and like Jenny mentioned earlier, for them to teach back, so the trainees become the trainers, so that they can, you know, remember their knowledge better.
My next question is, did you have something like a single biggest question that you brought in terms of what you were looking to get out of the course or what you were looking to develop for yourself?
I think going into it, I remembered my interview with Grace where she told me that the courses are about humaning skills. I felt that I got a lot out of that. I was nervous initially because I feel the course started out very clinically centered, but about the middle of the week when we got into the debriefing and practicing that, I felt that that was a really valuable tool that I got out of it. I felt it was very much like a 60-40 situation. It was very much focused on the communication aspect more than the clinical aspect. And so I felt like I could keep my head above water, even though there were moments where I felt like I was drowning. And now here we are at the end of the week, and I feel like I've developed a lot of really important skills. And like I said, I was expecting that to a degree, but I wasn't expecting it to this degree. So that has been really great.
Yeah, and I want to normalize the drowning feeling.
Okay, good.
When we open the course, we have a slide that shows sort of the path for the week.
Right.
That's the picture going up to the mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I'm in the room and we're giving that slide, I always like to point out that there's a point where it descends into a deep valley that you can't see into.
Yeah.
Because there will be a point during the week when you feel like you're further away from where you're trying to get than when you started.
Exactly.
And Sam, how about you? What sort of big question did you have coming in?
Going in, it was pretty funny. I was like, I'm not a doctor. What the heck am I going to do this material? That was my point going in. I was like, I'm going to take notes, stuff that's relevant that I could use in my real life or anything like that. That was my main motive going in. Coming out of it, I have so much material now that I can basically think about a way to, you know, build another, you know, like you said, like an HSE course, but for like a different field. Because when you think about simulation, it's not just medical simulations. I mean, simulation is just a fancy word for practice. And everybody does practice in any aspect of whatever job they have. You know, you think about athletes, you think about any job in the world has practice, even coffee baristas, you know, they practice that. So how can I make a training or a simulation plan for, you know, for future use for anything, anything in the world? So that was my focus going in. And I think I was able to achieve that.
What I'm curious is if you had any sort of moments where you learned something that you weren't even aware that you were missing. So this often happens with folks who have a healthcare background where they go, wow, there was something that I was totally unaware that I was even unaware of. But I'm wondering if you had any sort of similar moments this week with your backgrounds.
I think probably similar to the healthcare practitioners, I had a moment of like, I'm not just my profession. I'm also a person. In fact, I'm a person first, a teacher second. And I feel like I, in the interest of, you know, maintaining authority and respect and whatnot, I try to maintain that like hierarchy almost.
Like the professional distance. Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I think this course kind of alerted me to the fact that it's okay to like be a person in that context as well. Especially the debriefing stuff, like I saw, I heard, I'm concerned that, things like that, inserting yourself into what you are teaching and sort of personalizing it makes it much more effective. And I knew that to a degree, but I don't think I realized how little I was practicing that until we started practicing the debriefings, and it was very difficult for me. So that is a skill that I'm really excited to sort of have in my repertoire now and be able to practice going forward, especially meeting all of the clinicians that were with us in the course. They were all very open and very warm and very personable. And I could just imagine them in their professional settings, especially even like watching them perform in The Sims. That element of like personality and humanness really goes far in terms of communication and getting through to people. And I think that that was an important takeaway for sure that I did not expect.
For me, the biggest gap was, you know, with my sales background, it's very results driven, and how you get results is through focus on actions, specifically, you know, any sales actions to get more of the results. When we went through the concept of frames, actions, results, kind of opened my eyes a little bit to, you know, be able to see that understanding someone else's frame or perspective on how they perceive something is so important and takes more time, but will ultimately lead to better results because you help them get to the same mental model as you, or you get to the same as them, where you can understand them and meet them where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Parting question, what is sticking in your head from this week that you're going to be turning over on the car ride or tea ride home? Or will sort of be stuck in your head as you're trying to get to sleep this evening? Like what's really sticking for you?
That's a really good question. I think, truthfully, my project, I think it's something I'm going to be turning over in my mind a lot, like just how to be the best educator that I can be and get my learners to be the best learners that they can be. I want to implement something like lifelong tools that they can take away. And that's a very, very hard thing to get through to a student, but it's something that I'm turning over in my brain and trying to figure out, like, not the solution quite, because I don't know that a solution exists, but just a step in the right direction in terms of getting through to my students in that way. I've already been turning over that in my brain at night this whole week. So
I'm really excited for you just because I have to say personally, and I've worked with a lot of really great teachers in my career, that we have a couple just like really unbelievably phenomenal teachers in our program.
Right.
And I, you know, sometimes I just go sit in the back of the room and I'm like, wow, like this person is so good at their craft. Like
yeah, exactly.
it seems so effortless and it is truly not. There's so much going into it.
Yeah. And I think I'm just at a place now where I have the tools to know how to put in that effort, the right tools to practice with. And I'm hoping to get to that level of educator because I think that it's a really beautiful thing to encounter an educator like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sam, what's sticking for you?
Sticking for me, I think what I'm going to keep pondering is just application. You know, like went through so much material. How can I apply this into, you know, my, I guess, specialties, you know, without that healthcare background, I'm not pitching a fancy simulation to a big hospital. You know, how can I really apply my debriefing skills or my, you know, my knowledge now on the different types of simulations into the real world and into my life and into my relationship with people.
Well, thank you so much to both of you for joining me for this interview. And I'm really excited to work with both of you in the future.